So what I want to talk about today is, this is kind of a refresher course. What God does, and I've shared this before, is God brings verses into my life, and he makes them very, like they are just right there. I can't even get away from them, and I see this happening throughout my life. And right now, the verse that is in my mind is Ephesians 2:10. Can you put that up, Mike or Bob? Turn there if you want to in your Bible, Ephesians 2:10. There we go. This has been a verse that has been probably on my heart certainly for weeks now, maybe a few months. In the process of the leadership determining who would be covering the messages when Pastor Peter was gone, I always love the opportunity to speak. Dave Quinn loves the opportunity to speak. I know there's other men in the ministry that would also like to speak, but... this year we just decided on that, and so I thought, this may be kind of a cool thing to talk about. Now, this is kind of a refresher course, and you're going to see why I say that in a few minutes. But then last Sunday, after church, this was really confirmed to me. Last Sunday, after church, Jack Gazier came up to me and said, so, hey, I understand that you're doing the message next week. And I go, yeah. He says, well... He says, I got something that I want to share. Jack and Marilyn had gone away, and I'm not going to say too much about it, had gone away to work in mid-United States to do some service work for the flood victims, tornado victims. And I thought, I said to Jack, I'm like, Jack, that's like perfect. Because what I want to talk about is the works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And so the million-dollar question for us becomes, let me read that. For we are God's workmanship. We can actually do 1 through 10, but for the sake of time, I won't do 1 through 10. It says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I mean, that's one of the reasons God created us, is to do good works. But look at the next part of it, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I'm going to be asking you guys some questions today. I'm going to ask you a real personal probing question, and we'll see who's really brave and maybe would want to answer this question coming up in a few minutes. But I think the million-dollar question is, what are those works that God has prepared for me, for you? And how do I figure out what they are? I mean, God clearly says we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Okay. Let's take that at face value. God has things that he wants us to do. God has acts of service that he wants us to participate in. And he's prepared them in eternity in advance. He's not figuring this stuff out as he goes. A billion years ago, he knew what he wanted Ken to do, what he wanted Kelly to do, what he wanted fill in the blanks to do. My first question to you is, what do you think? How do we figure out what they are? What are your thoughts? I'm going to come on that side. Let me go over there right now. I won't leave you guys left out. How do we figure out what these are? Okay. Because my daughter knows that. First question, and for those who didn't hear, one of the main ways, I believe one of the main ways that we know what those works that would be that God would want us to do is it would fit within our spiritual gift. Who's brave? Anybody out there, if you want to raise your hand, who knows what their spiritual gift is? Oh, come on. We have, oh, okay. Would you say, I think I know what yours is. Go ahead. I would think that I think Amy has the gift of administration. Kelly? Kelly has the gift of teaching. Who else had their hand up? Kristen. Kristen? Go ahead. Gift of mercy. You know, Kelly and I laugh a lot of times about the spiritual gifts that we don't have. The gift of hospitality? Oh, my goodness. The gift of mercy? Boy, not too much. Go ahead. Okay. All right, now that's interesting. We're actually going to talk about that actually wouldn't fit into the category of a spiritual gift. And we're going to see that in a minute. Because God has also given us talents and abilities. And a talent and or an ability is a natural or a God-given ability to do something well. Kelly and I are in construction. Spencer does architectural drawings. Mike and Beth sing up here. That's not even a spiritual gift. That's just a talent that God has given them. It's not listed in the we're going to see some scriptures in a minute. It's not even listed in the list of spiritual gifts. What's that? Gift of exactly the gift of encouragement. Yes, discerning spirits is another interesting one. I love people with the gift of evangelism. You know, one thing that's interesting about all these spiritual gifts and the other ones that we're going to see when we start looking at the scriptures is that all of us should be doing all of these things to some degree. I don't have the gift of evangelism. I would far rather teach believers than minister to the unbeliever. But there are times that God calls me to minister to the unbeliever and give them the gospel. So just because I don't have the gift of evangelism doesn't mean I don't evangelize. But you get somebody with the gift of evangelism and they just like head over heels, like people are drawn to them. Kelly's father, like, you got to be kidding me. That guy could walk into a room and the unbelievers would be like drooling all over him, just listening to everything he says. Billy Graham is another one. So one of the ways that we determine what those works are to determine what our spiritual gift is. How many here think they might know what their spiritual gift is? I'm surprised you didn't raise your hand, Dave. Anybody here maybe wonder? Anybody, even if you don't know, do you pretty much think you know what it might be? Okay. And you know what? I've been a believer for a while. I've been a believer for probably 35 years. And I say that to say this, that I probably believe that in my life, I probably didn't recognize that I had the gift of teaching until maybe 10 or 12 years ago. Let me say this. I didn't recognize that I had the gift of teaching to the degree that I now believe that God has given me the gift of teaching until 10 or 12 years ago. So that means that I was a Christian for more than 20 years before I started really honing in on that. So I've said this before, which is why this is going to be a lot of refresher course as much as like maybe some new information. The fact that you might not know what your spiritual gift is completely fine. You know, because God, I mean, Pastor Peter has the gift of pastor teacher. He became a Christian when he was 6 or 7. It probably took 30 years or 25 years before God revealed that to him. What I would say, and what we're going to look at a little bit today, not in totality because it would take too long, is we should at least know what the spiritual gifts are. And there's three basic places we find those. And so we're going to look at that a little bit today. A few things that, just a few general things that we know about spiritual gifts. Well, first of all, they are for believers only. You cannot be an unbeliever and have a spiritual gift because God, what the epistles say, I don't know where it is because I just want to go through this quickly, is at the moment of salvation, God determines through the power of the Holy Spirit what your spiritual gift is. You don't get to choose. I don't get to choose. God knows because he understands all this. He already knows. In eternity past, he said, so-and-so is going to be saved on this date, and I'm going to give him this spiritual gift. And what's going to happen with that spiritual gift is God is going to use your life experiences, your likes and your dislikes, to even show you where to use that spiritual gift. And we'll see more about that in a minute. I believe this is not a hill I would die on. And this probably could be a little not controversial, but this people could disagree with this fact. I personally believe that we are given one primary spiritual gift. I don't think we have three or four gifts that are kind of equal in stature. Not a hill I would die on, but I believe that God would say this is your primary spiritual gift. And so I wouldn't be looking to have three or four necessarily. I would be looking to say, okay, God, which one are you showing me that is my spiritual gift? And all a spiritual gift is, boy, that doesn't sound right. But basically what a spirit, not all of it, basically what a spiritual gift is an ability to do something with a heightened sense of accomplishment. It's like the person with evangelism, God has just given them a supernatural ability to be able to minister to the unbeliever in a way that the average believer can't do. And go on down the line, you know, someone with the gift of mercy. And I'm going to read some, I'm actually going to read some quick quotes from Charles Stanley's book here. Great little book about the motivational spiritual gifts, I think found in Romans. The person with the gift of mercy, they're just all over people. You know, they just, their heart drips and bleeds for people when they're going through difficult things. Now, we should all have some mercy, but maybe, certainly not to the degree that someone with the gift of mercy would have. Put up Romans 12, 1 through 8, please. And turn there in your Bibles as well. Romans 12, 1 through 8. I'm going to read it off this side. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I just had to read these two verses again, because I love these two verses about the transforming of the mind. Go ahead to three. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Go ahead. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. We have a list of seven in Romans chapter 12. What I want to do is I'm going to read an excerpt of this book. This is Charles Stanley's book, Ministering Through Spiritual Gift, Recognizing Your Personal Gifts and Using Them to Further the Kingdom. The Gift of Prophecy, if you want to flip back to probably five maybe, either five or six, keep going. Prophecy. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. This gift is actually not a foretelling of the future. This is a forthtelling. Now, in this book, Charles Stanley's book here, he talks about these seven gifts. And I'm going to read the first paragraph of this. I was actually talking with someone earlier about this. I know probably at least two people that have this gift. And so listen to this. This is about the gift of prophecy. Do you find that you can't remain quiet or still when you know you are hearing a lie or in the presence of evil? Do you have a clear-cut understanding of what God considers to be right or wrong? You may have been given the gift of prophecy. I have this friend, Bob, who actually lives in Tennessee now. The Sunday school class that we're teaching right now, we're actually teaching it on creation kind of versus evolution, and I am taking a young earth creationist view in that study. Well, certainly there are a lot of people in Christianity who take an old earth creationist view. And there's no way that you can say this is the one or this is the one. My friend Bob would be having a blast in there. He'd be throwing, what about this? What about this? What about this? It's so important to him that truth is taught according to what he knows and believes that God has given him to understand Scripture to be. And so if that tends to be you, if you tend to be in a room, if this teaching going around and you're like heightened to, I don't know if that's right. I need to say something. I need to correct that. If you almost can't help yourself, then maybe you have the gift of prophecy. Again, something to consider. The second one is service. Is that up there? If it is serving, let him serve. Are you motivated to pursue practical areas of service to others? Are you connected with the practical, tangible work associated with a project? Do you enjoy doing things with your hands and in association with other people? You may be a person who has been given the motivational gift of service. Someone who, you know, we did a huge amount of work on this building, obviously, a couple, 3 years ago. And we had a lot of people doing a lot of work. And out of those people, I kind of recognized some that more than likely had the gift of service. Jack Gazier and Marilyn are one of them. I'm actually going to have Jack come on up now. He's going to share some slides, Mike. Did you get them? Sweet. And come on up, Jack. And oh, Marilyn, too. Come on up, Marilyn. Come on and sit in front. He wants to be able to pepper him with tomatoes. If grab that mic there, I think, Jack. Now, if you see me throw something at Jack, it's because he's going too long.
First of all, forgive me, I'm nervous this time around. Last year we did this a year ago, and I outlived it, so it was just easy. This year I planned something, and I'm terrified. Anyhow, I forgot how to do it. I'm gonna start. Anyhow, we unofficially represent Samaritan's Purse. We volunteered with them quite a few times now, and it's a great Christian organization. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, right now heads it. And it's a phenomenal organization. They work here almost all the disasters. They go around the world building churches, wells, you know, medical, work with Doctors Without Borders. It's a great organization. So I recommend them. If you ever give money to somebody, think about them. I got a couple pictures here, too, and unfortunately I'm not a computer expert, so they're all out of order, so it's going to be a little confusing, but bear with me. Okay, can we get those pictures maybe? And I'll just say a few words on a picture. Like pictures like this here, I mean, there's nothing I can say. That's, a tornado. That's what it does. Next. And there's another picture of a tornado. Next. And another picture. Also, I'm back that picture there. You see a flag. It's phenomenal. How many flags you see flying? I don't know why, but were they there before? I don't know. A lot of flags. Thank you. Next. And again. Next. And this is like part of the team talking to one of the homeowners. And the lady on the left, that's Rita. And we work with them quite a bit. Matter of fact, we work with them here in Rhode Island going back to the last flood last year. And we visited them this year in New Mexico, actually. They brought us down there. We had a great time with them. Fantastic couple. Next. And that's a sign we stick up there just to let people know who we are. And there's me talking to one of the homeowners. They encourage us to talk to these people, ask if they need any help, what they might need, can we pray with them, whatever, and the like. Next. And again, the same thing, just talking to people. Next. This poor guy had the house up for sale about a week or two before the tornado came through, so I guess that open house has been canceled. Next. And there is them talk to another home. The fellow on the left, that's Rita's husband and Marilyn. And it's just, you know, one of the cars crushed there. Next. And another one. Next. And there is us up on a roof. I swore I'd never go up on another roof again, but there were no volunteers, so here I was again. Next. And there's us praying with another group of two homeowners. Next. And again, presenting the Bible. And that's just a picture of the countryside as we rode around going from job to job, shot out of the windows of the truck. Next. And presenting the Bible again. Next. And that's Samaritan's Purse. This is the church we're staying at. It's a big Baptist church. They came with three trailers like that. They carry all the hand tools, the front end loaders, and whatever they might need for the job at the time. They're pretty well self-contained. Next. Plus, they bring their own cook, which is a fantastic cook. And there's just another house. Next. And another one. And this guy, poor guy here, he's serving in Iraq right now. He doesn't have enough problems. No, that's his house, what's left of it. Next. And this house here is an Anglican priest. That house, when tornado was coming, the wife went through the neighborhood and mentioned anybody needs shelter to come, because they had one of the few basements around. They had 15 people in that basement. Next. And there's just shooting out of their backyard. I mean, it's just devastation everywhere. And again, and there's just a picture of us cleaning up. We went to that house. That's the house you just seen. We went there. I didn't think we could clean that house up in a week. And we cleaned that whole property. Because at the end, we had about 40 young students come in to help us at the end. But we actually had a young girl called Gretchen who wanted to plant flowers in the front of that house. She was so touched. I mean, the house is completely gone. It's going to be leveled. But yet, you know, that's what we do. And again, the same thing. And that's the interior of the house. That's the second floor, what's left of the second floor, looking down. Next, same thing again. And looking down from the house to that left, there was a small little country church there. Two things stand in that church, that organ and the next picture, which is the cross. The only two things were left in that whole church. Next. And this is how they clean up. The government gives most communities down there 2 weeks to get the homeowners to get all the garbage to the curbstone. And these guys come by, you know, federal contracts, and they pick it up with these big things, and it's unbelievable how much debris there is. That whole area was a treed area, 100-year-old plus trees. I had some girl come up to me and hug me. She says, "You should have seen this before the tornado came." It was, I guess, a beautiful area, and it's just completely level. I found that laying on the grounds. I just stuck it up there, the flag, and that's Gretchen over there cleaning up the garden. Next. And that's the house again. Also, looters will be shot. You'll see two things. Looters will be shot, and praise God, thank you, God. You see just those two signs. And what a contradiction, but, you know. And that's us working in the trees, cutting the trees. It's just a tangle of trees, most lots. It was unbelievable. This is a 6-inch branch. It was tore off a tree, come flying through that window, through that wall. You know, that's how the stuff, it's all like flying missiles. And here we are again. And this is the owner of that house, and she was just so touched, giving her the Bible there, and words of encouragement. And that's her son there. He asked me, "Why did God do this?" He said, "What do you say?" The only thing I can say is some people don't have God like you have God to fall back on. At least you have God to fall back on. These other people don't. But he was devastated. And again, pictures, you know, just the countryside. Same thing. That was at a fourplex apartment. And another house. And that's the National Guard. They're still patrolling the streets. You know, they just ride around. There's quite a few of them out there. And there's a good story here, which I can't tell, but I thought that was just a good picture, seeing that man looking across his community. And there was a group all over. This was at a church. They were doing sharpened chainsaws. I mean, you go through chains like it's unbelievable, all the tree cutting we do. And again, that's one of our back, front, what do you call that, Rick? What's the name now? Who's it? Bobcat. And right around here, you can look in any direction, you see nothing, which I don't have a picture of. This man took us to. There's a church standing there. And it was complete devastation. The only thing that was wrong with the church was a couple little pieces of wood missing here and there. It was on national TV, I guess, quite a bit. Just didn't touch the church at all. Just went right over it. And this is, who's that? Let's see the, I can't read it. Somebody, some organization, anyhow, providing food. Salvation Army, I can't see that. Okay, yeah. You know, they have food stations everywhere. It's unbelievable how the food stations are everywhere. It's one thing they do feed the people well. And that's another picture of it. And just another house. I think that's going to be the end, I think. That picture there, we were working one day, saw those skies. I goes, "God, please, not another one." I mean, it was sort of eerie to see that sky and think, you know, what's next? I was a little nervous. And again, another picture. Oh, that's a hospital in the background there. Every place in that area is completely devastated except that hospital, with the exception of Joplin, was just the opposite. The hospital got hit. But this hospital, for some reason, stood, and it, you know, it had a lot of people in it. And that's one of our Bobcats. That's a driver there. He's unemployed. He come down. He lived about an hour and a half away. He's been here 2-3 weeks. One of the greatest people I've met in a long time. Love the Lord. Unbelievable. And again, looking down the street, you just, every place you look, it's not too much standing. Again, the same thing. And thank you, guys. Hey, I ain't done yet. A couple of quick stories. In one of the houses we went to, they asked us to talk to the people. So I says, "Sir, what's your story?" And he says, "Well," he says, "when a storm was coming, they tell us to get in the house, interior closet." So the three of us got into the closet, and he says, just as, you know, we closed the door, all of a sudden, our ears are popping, you know, there's noise all over the place, things are banging, and he says, "We go to open the door, and it's all done, can't open the door." I kicked the door out, and he says, "All I can see is sky and devastation." So I look either side of me, it's the same thing, and I realize, he says, "There's no walls in my house." So he looks behind them. As he looks behind him, he sees the closet they were standing in. That's the only thing standing was the closet they were in, three of them. And I says, "Geez, what'd you think next?" He says, "Thank you, God." And I'm thinking, geez, if that was me, could I be that calm? Or, I mean, these people come out of that closet, they have nothing. Their whole life is gone. Nothing left at all. Where do they eat? Where do they sleep? You know, how do they go to work? The cars are gone. And the other story, one story happened before we went. Every morning we pray at the house site, and we ask the people to pray with us, and usually they do. And this one man says, he said, "I'm not a praying person." So she said, "Well, we won't pray." He said, no, "You pray, I'll go in the house." So he worked there all day long. He was out there with us. And as we were leaving, we thought about the Bible, because we signed a Bible, give him a Bible. And he said, "What are we going to do about the Bible?" So I said, "I don't think he's going to want it." So anyhow, so we're walking away. All of a sudden, a door opens up. He comes running out. "Can I have one of them books?" So who knows? You know, it's you don't know what could happen out of that. And the very last job we did before we left was a 98-year-old woman still living by herself. And, you know, we did the job. We went inside, presented the Bible, and prayed a little bit with her. And so someone says, "Is there anything else we can do for you?" She says, "Could you sing Amazing Grace?" So here we are singing Amazing Grace. I mean, it was eerie. I mean, it was really eerie. You know what I mean? But it was just, it was the way to end the trip. It was unbelievable. And just to quickly wrap it up here, I haven't got the hook yet, so I'm still standing. But people come up to you. They hug you. They thank you. As a matter of fact, people go to restaurants. People buy you meals and everything. Thank you, thanks. We all have our Samaritan shirt. Her shirts, and we're well marked. And she says, "Why do you do this?" And caught me off guard. And I says, "Well, because we're Christians, I guess. Christians help other people." And 2 weeks later, so after I'm home, I'm laying in bed. This stuff goes through your mind a lot. I don't know why, but I'm saying, why? And something popped in my mind going back here about 4.5 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever. I went to Living Hope in North Kingston High School for the first time. And the preacher that day preached on James. I'm not a Bible reader, unfortunately, but I read James, and I read something about it really made me think. And that pastor wasn't the pastor. It was this man right here. What a coincidence, you know? And but James said something about, let me just hear it, because I'll screw it up. What good is it if you have faith but you have no deeds? Then it goes on to say, "I will show you my faith by my deeds." And then it ends up saying that, without the Spirit, I don't know. Forget it. It doesn't really matter. You can read it yourself. It really inspired me. I mean, and that's why I guess Marilyn and I do what we do, because we just enjoy helping people, and the satisfaction of having people thank you. You can see it in their faces and everything. It's just unbelievable. And another thing I got out of that passage was, someday comes the end. We're all going to stand before our Creator. And we're going to be there, and he's going to say, "What have you done with your time, your talent, and your treasures?" And I think I want to hang my head high and say, "This is what I did." And I'm hoping to hear from him saying, well done, faithful servant. And I think we all should look for that, because that's the greatest compliment you'll ever get. And I think that's what life is all about, not here, but serving him up there. And I guess that's all. I think Marilyn just wants to say two words and we're out of here.
So how many here, thank you guys, by the way, for your work. How many here would say that that would be something they would really enjoy doing? See, for those who didn't raise their hand, you don't have the gift of service. Because I try to find ways not to work as I get older. I'm getting a reputation of being Teflon, like nothing sticks to me. But you know what? And if that's not appealing to you, that's totally okay. Because, you know, the issue is this. The issue is I need to know when to say no about serving God as much as I need to know when to say yes. And if I'm saying yes all the time, and I'm not saying yes to the things that God has specifically gifted me in and given me talents and desires in, then I may be doing a lot of things that I'm just spinning my... No wonder we're so busy sometimes. But when you look at people, as you look at all these gifts, you go, yeah, I could see myself doing something. I could see myself doing that. So let me go to the third. Put up Romans again, please. The third one is the gift of teaching. I love this gift. Are you concerned with accuracy when the Word of God is taught or interpreted? Are you concerned with the truth, that the truth be passed on to the next generation or to those who currently are lacking in understanding and wisdom? Do you desire to see the lives of others changed as well as the result of information being given to them? You may be a person who has been given the motivational gift of teaching. Something to think about. I'm going to go to the next one for the sake of time. The next one, where are we? Flip down to about 6. I'm sorry, guys. Verse 6, 7. 8. Next one is the gift of exhortation. Are you vitally concerned about correcting error wherever and whenever you find it? Do you care deeply that those who are about to make mistakes avoid them, and that those who have made mistakes repent of their ways and return to a walk of righteousness before God? You may have been given the gift, motivational gift of exhortation. Next one is giving. I'm doing this a little quicker than I wanted to, but it's just Jack took so long. No, just kidding. The gift of giving. This is a great gift to have. Do you respond immediately to the presence of a need by saying, what can I do? How can I help solve this need? You may be a person who has been given the gift of giving. Next one is organization. Amy Brock. The gift of organization. Are you uncomfortable in a leaderless group? Do you feel relentless or frustrated if things seem to be disorderly? You may be a person who has been given the motivational gift of organization. I also know other people in here who probably have that gift as well. And lastly, the gift of mercy. Do you have a real heart for people? Do you feel tenderness toward others? Are you concerned with finding ways of showing kindness? Do you have a desire to see people love one another to a greater degree? You are likely a person who has been given the gift of mercy. Now, because of the time constraints, I mean, you could spend weeks on just these 7. I'm not going to have you put these up, guys, but if you're taking notes, that was Romans 12. You could also find more information in 1 Corinthians 12 and also Ephesians chapter 4. There are other passages that break down more spiritual gifts. These are the ones that Charles Stanley does in this particular book. Put up Acts 17, 26, that last one I think I gave you guys. I'm going to wrap it up with this. I love these verses. Let me just preface this by just for a moment. Here's what I want us to understand. Number one, at the moment of salvation, you have been given at least one primary spiritual gift. The list is in those three passages that I gave you. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, I believe, and Ephesians 4. Look them up. Do some reading. And realize that you have at least one of those primary spiritual gifts. That is going to be the basic way that you will serve God within the body. Secondly, you have been given very certain talents and abilities, things that you are naturally good at. I was reading on Facebook. No one laughed when I said Facebook. Good. There we go. I was reading a thing on Facebook, and the thing that I read was someone who likes playing card games. And this individual, I would like to connect with him a little bit more, and I'd like to see him connected with the church a little bit more. And I thought, okay, let's get a card game going someplace in North Kingstown. Let me set up a card game in North Kingstown and invite this guy. You know why? Because I love playing cards. If I hated playing cards, I wouldn't even think of that. So, you know, don't look at a ministry opportunity where whatever you're going, like what Jack and Marilyn did. Don't think that, oh, I'm going to hate this, but I'm going to grit my teeth. And maybe you shouldn't even be doing it. I mean, that's up to you to figure out, but I believe this. I believe that the service, the Ephesians 2:10, the things that God has prepared for us in advance, He prepares them knowing exactly who we are. He prepared them knowing what spiritual gift He gave us. He prepared them knowing what our likes and dislikes are. He prepared them knowing what our tendencies to do are. I mean, He's a pretty smart guy. And He's got this stuff all figured out. And it's up to us to figure out, where do I want to serve? Look at Acts. I love this verse in Acts. I'll read it right off of here. I think it's, check it out. 4. From one man He made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Stop there. How cool is that? You think it's a coincidence? You think it's just a coincidence you live in North Kingstown? Or Connecticut? Or whatever you might... I'm sure we have people from Massachusetts. He knew exactly where you would be living. He knew exactly who your coworkers would be, who your kids would be, who your parents would be, who your friends would be. You're not friends with the people you're friends with by a coincidence. Go ahead. God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as some of our own poets have said, we are His offspring. I love that part. I'm actually going to turn to it in my Bible. Hold on. If you want to turn to Acts 27 yourself, not that you have to. Nothing is by coincidence. Yeah, from one man He made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the times. This is what I missed somehow. From one man He made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. It's just not a coincidence. I mean, God has this stuff all figured out. So here's my advice to you and I. Ponder what your spiritual gift may be. I remember this for myself personally. Kind of a funny story, maybe. Not funny, haha, but funny, strange, maybe. I remember when I was a new Christian, just a young, wet behind the ears, probably 20 years old or whatever. I just gave my age away, didn't I? Christian, sitting in a church, probably a Christian for 2 years now. I didn't even connect these dots until years later, but I'm hoping this helps you guys a little bit. Sitting in a church, 2 years as a Christian, knew very little about the Word of God, thinking to myself, I would love to be up there teaching a message right now. God says, yeah, right, obviously at that point in my life. But now I look back and I go, gee, maybe that was the beginning of me thinking that God's going to give me the gift of teaching. Just the desire that I would have to be up there teaching in front of a church. Though I certainly wasn't ready for it. God hadn't even revealed to me what my gift was yet. But even back then I had that desire. So now I look at that and I go, huh, that might have been kind of the first inkling. So I would consider, what do you see yourself doing? What do you kind of like? And then, like I said, so look in those three passages of spiritual gifts, and then look at your environment. Look at the way you were raised. Look at everything that is everything about you. What are your likes? What are you drawn to naturally? Who's the author of that book, Kel? The Cure for the Common Life? Max Lucado? Max Lucado has a good book called The Cure for the Common Life. It really kind of capsulizes this even in much more detail than I did. But boy, you know, put Ephesians back up, Mike. Ephesians 2:10, and I'll close with this. I did pretty good. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is a little bit of an overstatement. When someone asks me to do something, I love saying no. When I know it's something that I really don't belong doing, I'm just very comfortable doing that now because I can give a reason. I can give a reason for why I'm saying no. I don't want to spin my wheels just being busy. Here's my goal, and here's what I want our goal to be. Here's what I want your goal to be. I actually want to be far less busy and far more productive. When you're operating in your spiritual gift, here's what I think you're going to find. You are going to find that you feel far less busy in life, but you look back and you're going to go, wow, I'm accomplishing all kinds of things. Because that's the supernatural ability that God has given you within that giftedness to be able to accomplish more than the average individual without that particular gift could accomplish. And here's another thing that I find. This has happened to me a couple of times at the Wednesday night Bible study. I've been doing it for 6 or 7 years, but I'm not even sure how long it's been. There's been a couple of times I've gone there not really feeling well, having a headache or something like that. And when I get there, I'm just like juiced up and motivated to teach. I feel great. And as soon as I say amen, my headache comes back. Like, you will be so motivated and so energized when you're working within your giftedness. It is exhilarating. There'll be times that during a worship session, boy, this is not going to come off good. I'm just not that big in the music, although I tell you what, I've come a long ways. And I love Mike and Beth, but I mean, and this is just about music in general, that there'll be music playing maybe before a message, and I'll be like into it, I'll be yawning a little bit, and as soon as the word is being taught, I'm like, boing, like wide awake, just loving it. So what is that in your life? What is that thing that you just go, I am just like fired up by this? What are you the most passionate about? Take the time, pray through this, put the pieces of the puzzle together, and see if you can figure out what God's spiritual gift is. And just another thing, I think a spiritual gift needs to be recognized by people around you as well. You know, we can kind of deceive ourselves maybe, or, you know, maybe we can want a certain spiritual gift and see some tendencies toward it. I think it's vitally important that other people recognize that gift in you as well, as kind of a confirmation of it. I'm looking forward to what this may bring in our lives, because that is just the way to serve. That's what we want to do. We want to find what those things are. Let me close in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word, for the truth that is in that, for the Spirit that indwells us as believers, for that spiritual gift, that primary gift that you've given us. Father, help us to discern what that is. Help us to understand at least what your gifts are. And then let us be faithful in serving you as you reveal what that spiritual gift is to us. Give each of us a heightened sense of maybe recognizing that the spiritual gift in someone else, to help them discern what it may be as we figure this thing out as a body of Christ. Father, thank you for each one here. Give us a great time of fellowship, and as we leave to go home, I pray you get us there safely. In Jesus' name, amen.